Good job, Caleb. Yeah, and she shouldn't think this song's for her either.
She almost got a standing ovation right there. All right. All right, let's pray for Miss Teresa. She sings for us.
Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us till the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us till the glory dawn, and give us a light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Amen. All right, thank you. Sister, let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, please, chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Brother Bill, is this all working? Okay. Been preaching through the book of Acts. I wanted to preach out of Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Saul, but the Lord wouldn't let me. I feel like that there are many pulpits today, this morning, that are having to deal with the events of Friday in Newton, Connecticut. And I want to share some things today because this is a time of great tragedy and we need to go to God's Word to help us. And what my sorrow among many sorrows, and I'm sure your sorrow is this also, that people are looking for answers without Jesus. There are no answers without Jesus. The answers are hollow. They are shapeless. They have holes in them. The only way you can answer any question in life is surrounding Jesus. You'll answer it correctly every time when you're looking at Jesus. And I want to read one verse. This is a Christmas passage. It's having to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus. But by the same token, there's just some things, and I'm going to read one verse, and I want to show you about three or four things this morning, and the things that I saw in one verse absolutely jumped out at me. And so I feel like this puts a lot of things in perspective, and I want to kind of talk from my heart today according to the Word of God, because we know people's hearts are heavy right now. Look in chapter 2, verse 16, one verse. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and show us some things from the Word of God, and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. America has seen in the last few years some tragic things. Some of you remember these things, as you perhaps would even remember where you were when you heard the news of certain things. Example would be 9/11. Where were you when you heard about 9/11? You may know where you were. I remember I was sitting in my classroom during lunch right up the road at Westover Christian Academy when I was teaching there. When I heard the news of 9/11, I thought of just a little passenger plane hitting the side of a building. I had no idea until later the scope of what had happened. But I can remember that day. I remember Columbine. And how a young man went in wearing a long black overcoat / weather coat kind of a thing, a hat, had guns underneath, and he killed people. I remember that. I remember not long ago a young man who for some reason dyed his hair red and thought he was the Joker from the Batman comics, and went into a movie theater in which the last of the trilogy movies on Batman was being shown, and he leveled his gun and killed many people. And we see these things all the time, unfortunately. I heard recently, or read somewhere, that just recently, and I don't know what movie it was in conjunction with, but there was a rumor that got out that a man was going to do the very same thing and go into a movie theater and kill people, and word got out, and they went and arrested the man in his home before he was able to go to the movie theater and kill people. That's not been that long ago. But of all the and Virginia Tech, my goodness, one of the great slaughterhouse attacks had to happen in Virginia Tech. And we thank God for how the Lord watched after Holly and other students, but we think of people that died from these tragedies. While tragedies are still tragedies, our hearts must go out. How could anybody mow down 26 and 7-year-olds? And our country is in shock right now because we want answers. We want to know what's going on. I thought it was Julius coming through, so he blew up the back. And because I was like, I hadn't heard anything, so the building, I hope, is still standing. And yet when you look at those things, how could anybody take all the artillery and firepower that this young man had and go into a school and destroy 20 first graders? And people are asking questions, and people are saying, how did this happen? Why did it happen? And bottom line is, we don't know. And we probably never will know. The key people are dead. The people that know the answers are dead. So we may never know. But there are some things in the Word of God. I've been on the internet and the Facebook, and I've been reading all kinds of things about this incident. And of course, if you're like me, you can't take but so much of it. After a while, it's like, you know, this is too hard, this is too heavy, and you just, because, you know, it's all over the news and all over the programming and people. And the thing that scares me about this is the fact that the news media love to take things like this and just go with it and hurt people. Because these families are hurting. Can you imagine sending your first grader to school that morning? You'd never anticipate in a million years that was going to happen. A week approximately before Christmas, and you know those little ones are just excited, and they were enthralled, and they wanted their presents, and they wanted to go see Santa Claus, and everybody wants to know why, and the answer is nobody knows why. But I think if we look to the Word of God can help us to deal with some of this tragedy. Because as we're teaching in our Sunday school lesson in the college and career class, we're teaching on biblical thinking. You've got to look at everything biblically. If you don't look at things biblically, you're lost, and your mind is gone. You don't know what to do. You'll go into depression. Could lead to suicide. These things happen because people want to know what's going on. We were getting ready and leaving today, and I was putting stuff in the car, and right down the road, there was a man, and he was fussing at his wife. This was before 9 o'clock this morning, fussing at his wife, and I didn't know, and I didn't want to hear what was going on, but it's like, you know, my first thought was, are you drunk? And I'm thinking, it's just too much. You know, if you don't have Jesus Christ, what's the purpose of life? There is none. There is no purpose without Christ. Let's think about some things. Let's look. Here's Herod. You know the story. Herod has been approached by the Magi, or the wise men, and they want Herod's help in trying to find the wise man. Find baby Jesus. And he says, well, when you find him, tell me. He said, because I want to come worship him also. And as the wise men are on their expedition, an angel of the Lord comes and says, do not tell Herod when you find the little child. Now, how long did it take to look for the baby? Well, verse 16, I read to you that Herod killed the 2-year-olds and under, so that probably tells you that the Magi or the wise men were probably searching for at least 2 years. They're traveling by probably camel. It's not exact. Camels don't run very well. I mean, they do to a point, but, you know, not what we're talking about, like a cheetah or something like that. And they're having to do some traveling to try to find. And so it's estimated, maybe according to this, about approximately, probably baby Jesus was about 2 years old, which maybe he's not a baby at that time. He's a toddler. And when they do not come and report back to Herod, verse 16 says that Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Jerusalem. Now that's the context. That's what's being said. That's the interpretation of the text. Now I want to take an application. Man, when I saw this, this thing hit me like a ton of bricks. Let me show you three or four things. Number one, I want you to see there was a deception. Now notice it says in verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was deceived." Rightfully so, because this was the command of God. That's interpretation. But let's make an application. Let's go back to this young man. And I've already forgotten his name, but that's all right. Here's a young man, for whatever reason, went to a school with elementary children. For whatever reason. Now, when the first story first came out, I was under the impression that his mother worked at the school. That was the impression I got. So my thinking was, all right, if that's true, if mama's working at the school, why go to the school to kill her? But then the story came out later that mama was at home and that he killed her at home and then left and went to the school where at first it was believed that she was a teacher. Then it came out that she may have been a substitute. Then it came out that she may have been an aide. And then it came out that she was possibly a volunteer. It was said by some that the teachers were interviewed and the teachers did not even know who she was. So we don't know, and maybe that's all changed now. Maybe that's come out. And later on, you can, if you've heard differently, you can come and tell me. I'm going by the things that up to a certain point I had studied myself. So why would he kill his mother and then go to that school? Let's take this story here and let's switch it off a little. Let's put he and let's think of that young man, 20 years old. Isn't that something? 20 years old. He's really a kid himself. And he was mocked. I read an account of some fellow students, 20-year-olds themselves, that had gone to school with this young man. And they said in this article that he was not at all accepted. That he was rejected. That he didn't fit. No one had anything to do with him. And these people that were talking, these former classmates, if you will, said, "We don't know anybody that ever hung out with him." Well, that's bad right there. It also went on to say that the mother was a rigid person. The word used was rigid. I don't know exactly what that means. But she did not like the way the school... did not like the plans the school had for her son. That was basically the quotation. So it's like, okay, what does that mean? And so she pulls him out, and according to the interview of some of the students, he stayed through the high school up to the 10th grade, maybe some into the 11th, and he was homeschooled. I understand that there are people that have gotten on the news and they've made statements like this. Where was God during this time? Let's think about some things in relation to being mocked by the wise men. Let's change that around. If we're using the thought of the young man and if we're talking about him being mocked and deceived by wise men, let's think about who the wise men are. How about those who are, as John Bunyan said in his book, Pilgrim's Progress, maybe they represent Mr. Worldly Wise Man. Do we have a right, do we as America have a right to blame God when we have said to Him, "Do not come into our schools"? Isn't it sad? Isn't it tragic that schools protect the right of porno clubs to come into a school and to show off pornography and nakedness and immorality, but you can't pray on campus? Do you know what I say to our young people? You know what I say to our young, to our children, to our teenagers, to our young adults? That we have a system of wise men. They call themselves wise. They say that they are intelligent. They say that they are smart. They say that they have the best interest of our young people at hand. Yet they will not talk about God. You know what? We have a generation, hear me well, we have a generation that has been deceived by worldly wisdom. I got to be careful. But I believe this with all my heart, that this deception has taken place not over a year or two. This deception has been going on for a good 50 years. It has started in our public schools. It has progressed into our universities and colleges. And now, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. Our people think differently right now than they did when some of you and myself were their age. Why? Here's the thought. Used to be the day that people, and you met people, and you talked to people, and you met people that were hard workers, and they spent their life working, and they would work 2 and 3 jobs, and they did what they have to do. Now the philosophy of this generation is, why should I work if the government will hand me everything I need? Now when you go through that system, and when you get through with the elementary, middle school, high school, college, and you get out on your own and you face the realities of this dark world, would you be wroth? Would you have seen yourself to have been deceived and mocked by the wisdom of this world? I think so. Here we are, we have tried, as our good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing churches, we've tried to hold forth the banner of Jesus Christ and lift up the Word of God, and yet we have had people on the other side that they'll say, oh, my preacher believes in literal creation, but then we have a biologist, then we have somebody of that nature that teaches in a university campus, and they say, oh, there's no such thing as creation. We came about through an evolutionary process. May I say to you that there is nothing, there is no groundwork anywhere to prove that we came from monkeys. Can't be proven. Now our young people have gone out and they said, this is the way we've been taught and this is what we need to do and we don't believe in church. And that's where we are, folks. Do you know how many young people will not go to church? And we can blame everything in the world and everybody, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there was a foundation laid when they stepped into that public school. And the agenda of that public school has always been for the last several years to deny the reality and existence of God. And when you talk to them about God, then what do? Then they look at you and say, oh, well, there's no such thing as God. But then it's interesting. When you say that, they get angry. Now, can I ask you a question? How many of you believe that there is a tooth fairy? Raise your hand, all you believers. You wait for the tooth fairy to come. You know, you set a snare. You know, okay, I got a bear snare right here. And when the tooth fairy puts her foot in there, it's going to catch her and I'm going to have her, yada, yada. None of you raised your hand that you believe in the tooth fairy. Then if I started saying that the tooth fairy is not real, would you get angry? No. Then you tell me something. If God's not real, why do people get angry? If Jesus Christ isn't who He says He was, then why do people want to take His name in vain? And why do people want to curse? And why do people want to get angry? Why? Why would something that is imaginary, threaten people, and he does. Here is a young man that was deceived for whatever reason, because I don't, for some reason to me, and like I say, I don't know if we'll ever find out, but it's interesting, where did he attack? A school. Why didn't he go to the YMCA? Why didn't he go to another movie theater? Why didn't he go to McDonald's? There was a reason he went to a school. He was deceived. There was a deception. Can I say to you today that we are losing this battle, folks? We are losing this skirmish today because we have lost a generation. And can I say to you, I fear we've let it happen. We've let it happen. You know what politicians say? Politicians, this is their favorite line. And what I fear is that not only is it true for politicians, but it's also true for Christians. Politicians say, well, I don't know. People can do what they want to do. They can believe what they want to believe. That's all right. Let me do what I want to do, and you do what you want to do. And let me tell you something, that's not right. Like the story of the man who picked up a prostitute and went to a motel. Next morning, woke up, prostitute was gone. He got up. The prostitute had taken a red lipstick and wrote on the mirror of the motel room, "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS." Well, let her do what she wants to. It's a free country. But it's not a free country if you infect and hurt others. I have the right to walk around and swing my fists if I want to. But if I go up to Brother Aaron and I pop him in the nose, my right ends where his nose begins. And I cannot help but think that we have people that are angry today, and they're angry because they have been deceived. Our young people have been fed a load of junk, and they're finally coming to the realization that now they're out in the real world and they're doing their own thing, and they're looking and they're seeing that the very thing that they think ought to make them happy is not doing it. And they have been deceived in the areas of religion. They have been deceived in the areas of Christianity, and there is a distinction between the two. I do not understand how Islam and Muslim beliefs are superior to Christianity, but they are, as far as this government is concerned. If it's wrong to pray publicly in the school, it's also wrong to endorse Muslim and Islam doctrine as well. But you know what? It ain't happening, is it? And I want you to understand something very plainly. If the Lord tarries, you go back. We're preaching through the book of Acts. Go back and read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs. And you look and see what the early Christians had to go through. And I'm going to tell you something. You take this to the bank. And if you don't believe it, you wait and see if it's not true. Christians, you and me are going to be suffering more and more and more persecution as time goes on. We don't even know what's going on yet. It's on the horizon and it's coming. You and I don't even know. We have not even touched the hem of the garment on this thing. It's going to happen. If the Lord tarries, it's going to happen. Because you know why? We're getting ready for that terrible time. And thank God you and I are not going to be here. But the rapture is going to take place. 7 years of tribulation. And they're going to be Christians. Not Muslims. Not Eastern mystics. None of that outfit. You can't find it in the book of the Revelation, but there's one group of people that's going to die. And they're Christians. And they're going to die because they will not take the mark of the beast. We've had it really easy for the last few years. If you will look and study in the Bible, study history, in the South especially, the last 50 some years or so, in the 1950s, revival broke out in the South. Great churches came out of the South during that great time of revival. Souls were saved in great churches. The Baptist Tabernacle right up the road, back when it first started, was started out of an old-time revival meeting like that. The power of God came down. The Baptist Tabernacle. You can go down to Charlotte, North Carolina, Northside Baptist Church. If you've ever traveled 85 through Charlotte, big dome-shaped church, founded by Dr. Jack Hudson in the 50s. Great soul-winning church. Started out a revival meeting. Fellowship Baptist Church, Dr. Gene Arnold. You remember him. Many of you do, I know. Church started. Power of God. That church came into being. Tabernacle Baptist Church, Greenville, South Carolina. Came out of great revival. Now, I want to tell you something. When I was a young Christian, I did not understand, as a young Christian studying the Bible, I did not understand the word apostasy. I couldn't imagine what that meant. I studied the Bible, and if you don't know what apostasy means, it means a falling away from truth. I did not know 35 years ago what that word meant. I couldn't wrap my brain around it correctly. But now, today, I want you to know I'm very clear about it. When you've got people like Bill Maher that get on TV and they talk about Christians and how Christians are stupid and how Christians... When you have people like this professional wrestler some time ago, CM Punk, that told Christians to drink bleach and die. And I hear all of those things going on and I look at them and I think to myself, you know, I say, we are facing the apostasy, because you can tell people that Jesus is coming again, you can witness to them, and they'll curse you like a dog. Used to be a respect for the house of God. That day is gone. That day is gone. And can you imagine then why our young people look and they are deceived, they have been deceived, and when they look and see the deception, some things happen, because the wise men of the day, the wise men of our society, the wise men of our universities, the wise men of our government are looking at what old time religion is all about and says it's a joke and it's not real. Second thing, there is a decision that was made. Not only a deception, but a decision. It says he was exceeding wroth. That means he got angry. Somebody get angry, there's a price to pay, folks. It's got to be that when anger takes place, there's going to be a reaction. Now, what is anger? I touched on this a little bit on Wednesday night. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruits of the flesh. And the fruits of the flesh, one of them is anger. Let anger be put away from you with all malice, is one of the things that he talks about. Anger is the flesh talking. But if you'll think about it, if somebody has led you down the primrose pathway all your life and suddenly you awaken one day and realize there's nothing, wouldn't you be angry too? Does that justify someone going to Columbine? Does that justify somebody going to Virginia Tech? Does that register with somebody going to a movie theater? Does it go with somebody, register somebody going to an elementary school? It's not right, but it happens. Because you have anger, and anger is not properly done. If you've got anger issues, go beat up a wall. With that deception is this. Somebody says, why do people take lives? Can I tell you why? We are living the same wise men that we talked about a few moments ago. Hang on. These wise men have taught us something, and taught us something very wrong. They have taught us that there is no value in human life. Have you noticed that one that almost immediately, guess what they started on with the what the newscaster started on? Gun control. And it's like, okay, we knew that was coming. But it's still true, folks. Guns do not kill people. People kill people. And if you take that to its logical conclusion, that you're going to take gun control. Now I'm going to tell you something. Let's do that. We got to register our guns. We got to do this. Yeah, but guess who's not going to register their guns? The criminals are not going to register their guns. So guess what? When they come time to pick the gun up, guess who's they're going to get? They're going to get the law-abiding citizens' guns. And guess who's going to have their guns hidden? So what are our liberals trying to do? They're trying to take away the protection rights of American citizens and make us subservient to them. Somebody says, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Guns do kill guns. Well, then the reason I'm fat is because of a fork. It's just the fork's fault. If I get rid of the fork, I'll lose weight. Isn't that logical? That fork is a dangerous thing. I think we ought to have fork control. I think we need to have our forks registered. Here's a young man that was wroth. He was angry. It was set before him and said to him, this is what you ought to do. And all of a sudden, it's all changed. And he's angry. What do you do with that anger? You've got to do something with it. Do something with it. And unfortunately. But I go back to this. The devaluation of a life. Do you know why so many people are getting killed? I can tell you. I can honestly tell you. And it's backed up from the Word of God. We wouldn't have any of these problems if we went back to old-fashioned, you know where I'm going, old-fashioned capital punishment. Because people say, oh, well, I can go do this, I'll do this and I'll do this, and it'll get me 20 years, and then I can get 15 off for good behavior. I'll be out in 5 years. That's okay. And you know what's so scary? That's what happens. Now, don't misunderstand me. I enjoy having a good time as much as anyone else. I enjoy sitting down and watching a good, for lack of a better word, shoot 'em up movie. But if you'll think of something, if you watch all these video games and if you watch a lot of these, I'll say shoot 'em up movie. You know what? If you're not careful, you know what you come across with this message? That human life isn't worth that. You know what's interesting about a video game, or whatever they call them now, is the fact that somebody dies, gets shot, gets killed, and they resurrect. Do you remember back in the day, and this has been a long time ago, do you remember back in the day when Dungeons and Dragons were big? What they called role-playing games? Do you know how many young people hanged themselves because they got involved in things like Dungeons and Dragons, and they got into this depression mode, and they got to looking at things, and they wondered, you know, in Dungeons and Dragons and other role-playing games, here's somebody that's dying, and they get to come back, and there's a curiosity that's built up, and some of those young people would go out and kill themselves and hang themselves to see if they come back. You don't come back. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after death, the judgment. There is no coming back. And yet, our young people have faced this curiosity. And they think, can I come back? And there's a devaluation of human life. The decision, what was the decision? Notice that the decision was thirdly destruction, because it says, and he slew all the children. And he slew all the children. And he slew all the children. Herod, you got to be mighty wicked. He slew all the children. Why? Because he knew if he slew all the children, he was bound to get Jesus some way. Why was there destruction? I don't know. I don't know what made this 20-year-old young man do this. I don't know. And as I said before, we may never know. Seems to me in my mind there has to be a tie between Mama having something to do with that school. Some tie there. It seems like it has to be. I don't know why. I don't know what's behind it. And maybe never know. And maybe it'll come out. Maybe it's already come out and I'm just not familiar with it. It hadn't come out to where I've seen a report. I don't know. But isn't it interesting that man, when he is angry, and man, when he is wrong and not right with a holy God, seeks some way to destroy? Two words. Spousal abuse. There are men who abuse their spouses on a regular basis. And the wives are so afraid of their husbands that they'll have bruises all over their face, or they'll have black eyes. And what they'll say is, oh, I fell down the stairs. There's a multitude of reasons why a man would be continually abusive to his wife. But may I say this also, in all due fairness, there are women who are also husband abusers. It's on both sides. Why? Don't know. But I can tell you this, it has something to do with the heart. Jeremiah said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Then asks a question. Who can know it? Who can know it? You don't understand that thing you have in you called a heart. You don't understand it. You don't understand why temptation comes across your brain. You don't know why you fall prey sometimes to temptations. You don't know why this happens, and you're thinking, you're supposed to be a Christian. Why are you going through this? Herod's answer to this, this young man in Connecticut's answer to this, was kill all the children. You say, Pastor, this is a very depressing message. Well, it's not an easy thing to say, no doubt about that. But can I say this to you? That we have to go to the Word of God, and the Word of God's got to be our help. The Word of God's got to help us to answer questions. And I don't know, I'm sure that the things that I've said, they haven't answered all the questions, but it helps me a lot. It helps me a lot. Can I give you the fourth thing? There was deception, there was a decision, there was destruction. Last thing, there's deliverance. What do I say to the families that lost these precious children? I can only say to them, look to Jesus. I can't say anything else. I know they've got to wrestle with this thing. I know they've got to say, where was God in the middle of all? I know all of that. I know they've got to answer those questions, and I know they've got to deal with it. And I can't answer it, and no man can answer it, and no one can understand. But I still have nothing else to tell them. I still have to tell them that Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. It's the only thing I've got. Only other thing I can do is pray for this generation. We need to pray. We need to pray that America would get back to old-fashioned biblical values, folks. You cannot go the way this country's going and not have these types of events happen. Because can I say this to you? I'm speaking to you as a realist and not as a pessimist. This thing is not over yet. Miss Pam wrote on Facebook and she said that this wanted to make her just go and hug little Caleb more. And that's the way it ought to be. You and I don't know if we'll see our loved ones another day. We have a wicked world. I close with this thought. Let's say Herod, we've seen Herod, we've likened him unto a young, like that young man in Connecticut. What if we likened him to the devil himself? Because you can very easily and logically show us a comparison between Herod and Satan in the Bible, very easily. What did Herod, a.k.a. Satan, want to do? Destroy. Don't you think the devil loves you? Don't you think the devil even a little bit likes you? And don't even think that the devil tolerates you. The devil hates you. And if he's got anything to say about it, he'll destroy you. Better get out on that highway. When you get out there, you better pray for the good grace of God. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm glad this ain't my home. And those little children that knew Jesus as their Savior, the only comfort that poor mom and daddy have right now is it'd be a glad reunion day. And that's all. But if they knew the Lord Jesus, and I don't know how many of those young people knew Jesus, I don't know their hearts. But you know what's kind of tough? It'd be a tough thing to live down here with loved ones that you knew beyond any shadow of a doubt were not saved. And then see them go into eternity without the promise that you'd ever see them again. That's tragedy. Let's do this morning. Those that will, I'd like to ask you to come forward either around the altar or on the front bench. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray for our young people. We need to pray for the CJs and the like Brother Johnny's kids. We need to pray for these kids. We need to pray for our school systems. We need to pray for those that are leaders. So I'm going to ask you to come. We're not going to sing anything. We're just going to pray. And let's pray for these families. God give them grace and strength. God help them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for our country. USA of America. USA, we need prayer. We need prayer. We need prayer. When everyone is finished praying, I'll close our prayer time.
children up to you, and let the little CJ and John's kids lift them before you, Father. We pray that you will help them, Father, that they may not be entangled with the world system, but Lord, they might see the Lord high and lifted up, and they might see a godly example in their families and folks in church. Lord, we do pray, God, that you help them. Oh, Lord, children all over the United States and the world, God is being suffered in by you, by Satan. Satan wants to destroy our children. And I pray, God, that you give grace and strength. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We do pray, God, for the families. They are in Connecticut. And they're going through this trash. Please, somehow, in the midst of this great, great horror, may they see the Lord behind them. Maybe through this, somehow, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, Lord, Isaiah saw the Lord, I left it up, and you're the King who signed the time. Lord, may some of these dear things somehow see the Lord Jesus and they're not saved. May they come to know Christ, and Lord, if they are saved, give them everlasting arms of love, embrace, and hug them, hold them dear to you, Lord. Lord, take these things. Pray for our nation. Have mercy. Thank you. Bless the name of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we come before you and we do pray for these needs. Father, for our country. Our country needs revival. Our country needs a drawing nigh to God. And please, we pray for our country, pray for our president. We pray for his salvation. We pray that you will help him to come to know Jesus Christ and be saved. We pray, God, that you will help us as a nation to return to biblical values and not smirk and laugh and curl our lip up at old-time righteousness. Help America today, please. And Father, we pray that you'll be with our children. I pray for our children of our church. I think of CJ. I think of Brother Johnny's kids. I pray, God, that you'll just be with these children and pray that you'll help them and pray that you'll protect them from evil, Lord. Put a snare around them. Put a hedge about them, Father, that they may be protected from the evil one. And Father, we pray that you will help our children today. Oh, that our school systems would not force God out of the school. We know that technically they can't, that you go with the children in the school. But Lord, we know to be forbidden from prayer, to be forbidden from even mention the name of Jesus, to even talk about Christmas and not be able to say the word Christmas, have to say words like winter solstice, which for many cases is a term of witchcraft. Father, I pray that you'll please help this country, help our children. Oh God, that we might reach our children for you. We pray for that. For people like this young man now that's gone into eternity, there are people that are angry. They've been deceived and they're angry. Oh God, may they find Jesus. May they find Christ. May you send a soul winner to meet them, to talk to them, that they may be averted from committing these heinous crimes. We leave this in your hand. We pray, God, the will of God be done as we come together. You said where two or three agree as touching one thing, it shall be done of the Father which is in heaven. We all pray together. We pray, God, for these needs. Help us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.